The following is a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for tuning in today. On today's show, we're going to talk about the holidays, and we're just, you know, less than a month away now. People are preparing, they're buying gifts, they're preparing for some maybe minimal entertaining, given the situation that we're in with the pandemic, but certainly lots to talk about. So joining me for the discussion is Doretta Thompson. She's a financial literacy leader and director of corporate citizenship at CPA Canada, and Dr. Janine Hubbard, president of the Association of Psychology in Newfoundland and Labrador. Ladies, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to be back.
There's no doubt that this holiday season is going to be like no other. You know, we've never been faced with a pandemic. People are really going to have to change their plans, which, you know, in some cases will be okay. It will probably limit some of the spending that normally happens for travel and holiday entertaining and that kind of thing, which will be helpful for people's pocketbooks because we know the pandemic has also had a strain on people's finances. Some polls that I've read say spending will be down 30%, others 18%. So I guess if we look at an average, people are expecting to spend about 25% less this year. But while overall spending is expected to be less, it is, as I said, primarily due to reduced budgets on things like travel and entertainment. As holiday spending polls also indicate that Canadians are prepared to shop for gifts, and even if it means taking on debt to do so. So, Doretta, let's talk about the annual CPA Canada holiday spending study that was released just this past week. When it comes to gifting, Canadians still intend to spend on average $588 this holiday season, which is slightly higher than the $583 reported in last year's study. Many respondents are likely to avoid travel during the holidays, with one-third saying that they don't plan to spend anything, on an additional 38% plan to spend less than $200. In terms of money spent entertaining, nearly two-thirds at 59% plan to spend less than $200, and 1 in 10 at 13% plan to spend nothing at all this year. Less than half at 47% say they normally set a holiday spending budget. Nearly half at 48% admit to feeling added stress during the holiday season. And for a lot of them, it is due to the financial strain that sometimes comes upon us with regards to, you know, the cost of gift giving and planning and that kind of thing. So what surprised you, if anything, Doretta, about the statistics that came out of your study this year versus other years?
I think so. One of the things about the study this year, and so we were conducting the study the first week of October, I think the stress levels is, we knew that they would be serious, and people often have serious stress levels at Christmas. That's a big increase. I think, though, that given the pandemic situation, the decrease in travel was not unexpected, or entertaining is not unexpected. These are not choices that people are making, in a sense. They're choices that the pandemic is imposing upon them, either the limitations of where you're living. And we know that, you know, Newfoundland is enjoying a relatively calm period right now. I'm in downtown Toronto, where we are in complete lockdown for 28 days, where you're not even allowed to visit outside your own home. So I think it's a very fluid situation across the country. One thing that I was very happy to see in the results is that there's no increase in charitable giving either, that people, there's still very high commitment to charitable giving in this period.
And we all know that that's super important with the strain that the pandemic has had on the finances of many people across Canada, and certainly here at home in Newfoundland and Labrador. That's been compounded by the downturn in the economy due to the oil industry and so on. And we know the food banks are especially busy at Christmas time, but even more so I expect this year because of everything that's happening.
Yes, exactly.
So another poll that was done recently stated that 85% of Canadian consumers plan to use their credit card at some point during the holiday season. And among those, more than three quarters, at 79% of them, aren't worried about the debt. Another poll conducted by Manulife shows that nearly two-thirds are willing to take on debt to fund the festive season. So what's concerning about that, for me, of course, is that oftentimes people, you know, they live in the moment, and it, maybe even more so because of the pandemic, because everyone's looking for like that light, like the something to bring them a little bit of happiness. But what concerns me is that many people don't also put together a budget for holiday spending. So if they're overspending, they're not budgeting, they're likely also not planning for the repayment of that debt. So how concerned are you about these numbers, Greta?
Very concerned. I think that you're absolutely right that budgeting is critical, sticking to your budget is critical, particularly in times that are very uncertain. And we do know that this pandemic is affecting people very differently. There are people, we saw this in our holiday spending study and also in our Canadian Finance study, which was done not long before that. But there are about 10% of people who are, you know, very seriously impacted at this point. We see it in holiday spending that they don't intend to spend anything at all for the holidays. But for people who are lucky enough to have their jobs, and for many who are working from home, a lot of their costs have actually gone down in terms of travel, daycare, and things like that. So you've seen sort of very uneven impact. And I think that you get a combination of people feeling that we need to live for now and we'll worry about it later. And then people who feel that they may be okay and they can handle the debt. I think that having a budget, sticking to a budget is really critical. We don't know what's going to be happening in the new year and how long this is going to last.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's more important than ever because things are so uncertain. I mean, there's lots of great talk right now about vaccines that may be made available as early as January, but I'm a little hesitant to get my hopes up that this is all going to be behind us in the first quarter of 2021. I think it's going to take longer to get everyone vaccinated. Hopefully I'm wrong, but you know, I think it's really important that people plan because things are so uncertain, and of course holiday budgeting is part of that. We know as well, Janine, that you know, for many people, the holidays, although it's lots of fun and we often have some great memories that we create during the holiday season, it's also a very stressful time for people, largely because of the financial stress that many find themselves in. This is also compounded now by the stress that people are feeling, maybe because of the uncertainty of the pandemic. So what advice do you have our listeners on how they can reduce the stress?
Well, again, I think it comes down to focusing on the core of what is really important. We have all gone through a tremendously stressful year. You know, it has impacted some people far more severely than others financially, and in terms of emotionally and mental health-wise, it has had, you know, vast range of impact, but it has had some impact on all of us. So this year, it's kind of reappraising, yes, absolutely, we're not going to be doing some of the socializing that we normally do, which might reduce some financial stress, but at the same time may create some emotional distress or actually might relieve things a little bit. Normally, we're talking around this time of year about how to cut back on all of those activities. So maybe right. Being able to kind of reframe the way you're looking at the holidays and going back to the core of what is really essentially important for you and your family as you go through the holiday season. And more often than not, it's far more about the shared experiences. One of the things that was most striking at the beginning of the pandemic were the number of kids who were saying, I really like being able to spend time with mom and dad. I like that we pulled out all the dusty board games, or I'm teaching them how to play Fortnite, or, you know, we're spending some time as a family. Now, granted, that wore over time, but maybe use the holidays as a time to kind of go back to that for a little bit.
I guess those of us who grew up that way, and it was all always, my sister, brother, and I always each got a board game underneath the tree for Christmas from Santa. And, you know, we looked forward then Christmas Day, Boxing Day, to playing those board games as a family. And I think maybe this generation, maybe Santa's giving them video games, and they're playing video games as a family. But I think what's important is that we are focused on spending that time together as a family and making sure that we're creating those memories. So the Manulife survey also noted that 68% of those who reported having a lot of debt currently, they said that they will overspend again this holiday season, even though they know they're doing so will have a negative impact. Doretta, what advice do you have for those people?
I think the first thing is to step back and take a very realistic view of where you are right now, like actually understand your debt situation and address debt first. I think that hiding from it is probably going to create more stress in the long run. and having a plan to address debt, it's an empowering thing in the end. And I know that may sound counterintuitive for some people, and people are very afraid of the B word, budget, et cetera. But this is really about understand where you are and have a plan to get to where you need to be. And in terms of addressing debt immediately, you need to understand it first, and then you are in a position to actually, you know, decide where to address your debt, whether you need assistance, like with a debt counselor, et cetera. There are still some programs in place for alleviation of some expenses. But I think the important thing to start is understand where you are and be realistic about getting out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did mention the B word being budget. So still ahead on your money. We'll have some tips on how you can make your holiday season merry, but still living within your budget. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Today, we're discussing how to avoid holiday debt, and joining me for the discussion is Doretta Thompson. She's the financial literacy leader, director, and corporate citizenship at CPA Canada, and Dr. Janine Hubbard, president of the Association of Psychology in Newfoundland and Labrador. So, ladies, we know the holidays can be overwhelming for many, even during the best of times. And this year, the holiday season will be especially challenging for families facing financial obstacles due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We discussed in the opening segment, of course, that the financial stress of the season can have a negative toll on one's emotional well-being, causing more anxiety and stress than, you know, any other time of the year. So one way to deal with the weight of your own and everyone else's expectations this year, of course, is to create a holiday spending budget. So, Doretta, I'll start with you. What tips do you have for people who maybe have not created a holiday budget specifically? Maybe they're good at budgeting, or maybe they haven't been good at budgeting in the past. But why is it so important to create that holiday budget specifically? And what should they be thinking about in doing so?
I think budgets in general, and a holiday budget in particular, is a very empowering thing because it helps you think about both your values and your resources in terms of how you can, you know, make those special gifts and those special opportunities come true. So I think the important thing with setting your holiday budget is to, you know, make a list and check it twice, who you're giving gifts to. And this year, we really may want to think about the size of our gifts and the number of people on our list, et cetera. Another thing is make sure that you include all of the expenses related to the holidays. And I think this is something that gets some people into trouble where they know they want to give gifts to people and they forget about things like the cost of wrapping paper and cards and this year postage or delivery and a lot of the other things that go around it. So in setting your holiday budget, make sure that you know who you're buying for, what your budget is per person, and all the other costs that you're going to have related to the holidays. And then you're in a position to actually think about, is that more than I can afford? Where can I cut back a little bit? Or do I have a little bit more room than I thought I did?
Yeah, and I think it's really important. I mean, we always say when you're creating your household budget, like your regular living expenses budget, that it's important to revisit it to make sure that you don't need to make changes. It's just as important to do that with your holiday budget. So, for example, if you're listing all the people you had to buy gifts, set an amount that you're going to spend on each one of those gifts. And then as you purchase the gifts, go back and look at it and say, okay, did I overspend, underspend? Do I have some money that I can put aside in case I need it for things that come up? Or do I need to cut back in other areas because I have overspent on some of the items that I listed? It's so very important to make sure that you don't only set it, but that you revisit it and make sure that you're sticking to it. Do you have any advice for listeners, Doretta, on how they can ensure they're sticking to their budget beyond what I've mentioned in revisiting it regularly?
I think that this year in particular, we need to be really sensitive in setting our holiday budget, depending on how the pandemic affects you. And that was something that you mentioned, and I think very thoughtfully. Remember that even if, say, you're in a good financial position, everybody in your list may not be. So I think that this year, doing that double check and check in is particularly important, that we're being really sensitive to the stress and to the realities that other people may be finding as well. This is not a year to get into any kind of one-upmanship with your budget of, you know, sort of outshine in that department. It's really a year we need to be very, very sensitive to one another and what the reality that different people are in. And I think that also in terms of your holiday budget and when you're thinking of gifts for people, and I think we'll probably get into this later in terms of ways you can cut back and save, but it's also to think about if there's room in budgets that you can replace with something else, also remembering to budget for charitable giving and maybe even charitable giving in replace of a gift for people who really don't need anything.
Yeah, no, I think that's really great. I was talking with a colleague of mine about, you know, some things we're hearing from our clients and the stress that they're feeling about the holiday season and talking about others around us that maybe are not in as good a position as they may normally have been and how you could say, well, you know what, maybe this year I'm a good cook. They love my cooking. I'm going to make a bunch of meals that they can put in their freezer that will help them out tremendously in the cash crunch that they may be feeling during the holiday season because they'll be able to cut back on their grocery bill. So it's little things like that that you can plan around for the people around you.
I think touching things as well. You know, we normally have a big holiday open house for all our friends, and that's not going to be possible this year. So I'm going to be baking and bringing little cookie packages to people, which is, you know, its effect on my holiday budget is enormous because compared to a very large party. But it's also really thinking about people who are alone and may not be able to have these kinds of things this time of year and really looked forward to sharing in that environment.
Yeah, no, I think that is a great idea. And Janine, you know, oftentimes people just, they feel pressure that they have to spend this time of year. Why do you think that is?
Oh, there's no question. As you sort of said, there's the one-upmanship, but there's also the, we tie so much of kind of our expressions of love coming into those gifts. And for some people, they equate amount of money spent as equal to the amount of love or thought behind it. Whereas, I mean, obviously we all know that that is not the case and that there are some very inexpensive or no-cost things that absolutely can be incredibly thoughtful and reflect love. One of the things that came to me as we were speaking is the importance of having proactive discussions right now with anybody in your circle, because traditions are going to be totally disrupted and you don't want misunderstandings. So if normally you exchange some small gifts, you know, at different social events, and those social events aren't happening this year, you need to have a little conversation of, so are we still doing a gift exchange? Are we not? Because some people are just assuming, well, if the event isn't happening, I'm not giving a gift. And others are out there saying, well, of course I'm still going to give a gift to that individual. And you don't want to get in the case of hurt feelings and misunderstandings around the gift-giving time.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I often say to people, you know, when we're just talking about budgeting and how sometimes you feel pressure to go out to dinner with friends and that kind of thing. And I would say, you know, a lot of people are feeling the same pinch that you are. Don't be afraid to have the conversation because it may be a relief to the people in your circle that someone has brought that forward because they're feeling the same way and not sure how to bring it up.
Oh, I've heard that repeatedly. Again, as much as people enjoy the socializing, as much as they enjoy, you know, all of the things that go along with the holidays, the number of meals out, the number of hostess gifts, even just the cost of things like baking and the entertaining and the, you know, throwing a, as you said, an open house, those can add up enormously every year. And as you said, those are some of those unexpected costs. So kind of going in knowing, all right, maybe this is a year to refocus and know that I don't have to be spending that kind of money because those are the things that have maybe caught me off guard in the past because I forgot about all those extra little expenses that occurred throughout the season as I went to pick up another hostess gift.
No, that's right. And I would encourage people that, you know, those types of things that you're not having to spend money on this year that you have in the past, reduce your budget for those items. Don't, you know, still spend the same amount and increase it in other areas. I think the pandemic has taught us that emergency savings is more important than ever. So tuck that money away for something that may come up. So, Dorette, I'd like to talk about now, like, who is on your gift list? And I don't mean you personally, of course, but who is on people's gift list? Like, how do they determine who really needs to be there? I know that can be a hard decision for many.
Yes, it is. And I think that, you know, your point earlier that somehow our gift list has really expanded over the last I would say for me, when you look over the last 10, 20 years, when suddenly, you know, you are exchanging gifts with friends, with work colleagues, with all kinds of people, whereas I remember growing up, Christmas gifts exchange were very, really, really limited to family. It was, at least in my world, it wasn't a colleague thing, you know? So I think that looking at that this year, be really mindful of who's on your gift list. And if there are little things that or things where you normally exchange small things, you may want to think about something like the old-fashioned Christmas card tradition of maybe instead of a small gift, send a lovely card. And then I know there are some people who are doing away with print cards and using e-cards, and I can see that that's appropriate in a lot of cases. There's also, you know, using a print card at a time like this, particularly for people who can't come home or who can't be with you, and a hand, you know, something that's real paper and hand, a handwritten loving note could be a really good way to handle some of the gifts on your gift list.
Yeah, I love that. And I've seen a number of stories over the last number of months about how pen pals are becoming more popular again due to the pandemic, and how special it is for someone to receive that letter as opposed to the electronic world that we often find themselves in. So I think that's great.
And I think that, you know, focus, of course, on children. I mean, in the holidays, if there are small children in your life, there really is the desire to make Christmas special for them. But remember that it doesn't need to be horribly expensive. You can set and manage expectations with your children. And often, gifts and things you can do together end up becoming the most important one.
When you talk to kids about what, because I always make a point of not saying what is it you are looking forward to having Santa bring, but what are you looking forward to doing over the holidays?
Right.
And getting them to focus on, well, what are the activities? What are the things we did? And when you start talking to them, it's far more about the, hey, remember the year we went out and had a snowball fight? Or remember the year that the cat knocked over the tree? And, you know, like that's the stuff that especially young kids remember. And that's the shared stuff that you get to, you know, laugh about and tell those stories year after year after year. So focusing in on that, and especially when buying for kids this year, well, not just kids, I think there's a feeling of almost needing to overcompensate. It's been such a terrible year, therefore I should splurge, you know, to kind of almost compensate for things, and we want to be really careful and mindful against that.
I had a little chat before this yesterday with my team, and, you know, how did the asking each of them, how do you feel about Christmas, how are you handling it, et cetera, and I really heard that whole range of emotions, you know, from a young mother who it's like, it's such a hard year. I just want to make things good for everybody.
Yep.
And the temptation to go overboard and, you know, with the kindest heart imaginable and, you know, wanting to do that. And then other people saying, I don't even want to do Christmas this year. I don't want to go there.
I've seen both of those extremes as well. The I want to foster every memory and I want to, you know, really treasure this. And then there's a lot of people saying, I'm just burnt out. I'm tired. I'm just not feeling it. So we have the people who have already got their houses completely decorated and had them decorated pretty much the day after Halloween. And that's okay. And if that's what brings you joy and is helping you to cope right now, that's amazing. But if you're not feeling it, that's okay too.
Yeah, it's all about doing what's right for you. But oftentimes, to your guys' point, people do get caught up in the fear of missing out and making sure that they can do what others are doing in their families. So how do we not get caught up with that? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money with BDO. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden. Today's topic, avoiding holiday debt. And joining me for the discussion is Doretta Thompson. She's the Financial Literacy Leader, Director of Corporate Citizenship at CPA Canada. And Dr. Janine Hubbard, President of the Association of Psychology in Newfoundland and Labrador. So, ladies, let's talk about holiday FOMO. Of course, you know, people always talk about the fear of missing out. And we've talked about on the show before, Janine, how social media has really, I don't want to say made it worse, but it's certainly brought it more to the forefront because people are posting so much about what's going on in their life. And the holiday season tends to be, there tends to be more of that. You know, there's also advertisements for holiday shows, You know, we're really facing a lot of temptation this time of year, and sometimes that temptation gets us, you know, spending more than maybe we should. So what tips do you have for people on how they can avoid this fear of missing out and the debt, of course, that might come along with it if they overspend?
The first thing, you're quite right, is be very mindful of your social media use. And that includes people who perhaps are doing okay this year. We want to celebrate all the things that are happening in your holidays, but being mindful that not everyone in your circle perhaps is having as happy or as joyful or as family-filled a holiday. We know this year in particular there's going to be a lot of people who are separated from their loved ones. So seeing repeated pictures of family get-togethers, or even, you know, some of us who have wider bubbles that we're able to access because of where we live, for people who are, you know, isolated in a condo in downtown Toronto, that's really hard to see. And so maybe being a little thoughtful, a little mindful about what you're posting, and then being careful about, you know, when you're spending your time, remembering, I mean, the fundamental rule around FOMO and social media is none of us post the boring days. None of us post the days where we're tearing our hair out, or, I mean, occasionally post the funny, tragic things like the burnt turkey. But for the most part, what we're posting is an idealized version of all the good moments. And we need to remember that that is such a small percentage of what happens on a daily basis for any of us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that is something that we talk about, or we have talked about before on the show, is that, you know, people don't post their entire story. It's usually the highlights that you're seeing, and you need to be mindful of that as you're reading through it. And also, it's so important that over the holiday season, for me anyways, that I disconnect. So, you know, I will take my phone and my tablet, and it will go away on Christmas Eve, and I will not take it out, likely until after Boxing Day, so that I can really take, even though it's, you know, 3 days, I can take those 3 days with my family and really disconnect from what's going on around me. Dorota, what advice do you have for people about avoiding holiday FOMO or the fear of missing out?
I mean, I do think that the most important one is what we've just talked about, which is understanding that you're seeing curated lives. And we know that this is affecting young people. You know, our studies have shown that the most. The interesting thing is, I think that young people are actually quite socially media sophisticated, and they actually understand that they're looking at curated lives. I think that it's important for people to focus on the basics and stop comparing yourself to other people. And, you know, if there's anything that does come positively out of this, and I'm not talking about a silver lining, but really more like the whole don't let a good crisis go to waste, which is, you know, Winston Churchill, is that maybe we all connect a little bit more with our values and what's really important. And you see that the stuff isn't what makes you happy, and be sensitive to the people, it's not just your own life, but the people who are important to you. I really like the suggestion of being careful, not just of understanding what you're seeing from other people, but being respectful of what by what you're posting yourself. And I've actually started noticing that in my media feeds and in my personal social media feeds, where people are being a lot more sensitive about what they post and thinking about more inspirational, thoughtful things than stuff and travel and things, which, of course, none of us are doing anyway.
Now, yeah. The one thing that I have seen, as if you're looking for an upside of the pandemic, is people using social media for emotional support. There have been a lot more people willing to be open and saying, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. How is everybody else doing? And using social media as a way to reach out, because this has been such a shared global experience, it has ironically brought people together in many ways. So looking for the positive piece of it. Also, I think there's going to be a lot of people connecting to families virtually this year. So, you know, it's going to look different, but it is going to be a little harder to shut off the social media than perhaps in some other years, where you have all of your immediate family with you and you're not concerned about what the rest of the world is doing. I can only imagine connectivity issues Christmas morning as everybody tries to have their virtual Christmases together. That, I think, will need some patience, but we'll get it figured out.
Janine, something else that I'd like to hear from you on is, Santa may be as well as having a harder time this year, and friends and family of kids may be having a harder time this year financially. How do parents have the discussion with kids that maybe this year Christmas will be a little scaled back? They may not be able to get everything on their wish list.
Yeah, and I've had this discussion, again, especially with younger kids. First of all, reassuring everybody, the big guy is COVID-free. He's coming. He's got all of the exemptions he needs. But you know what? Like the rest of the world, Santa's Workshop had to shut down production for a few months earlier this year. And there are a lot of things that are, you know, that just aren't going to be able to be delivered this year. And for really little kids, they've seen that enough in their regular life that that might be okay. Same thing I say every year, and I can't emphasize this enough, especially if you're posting it on social media. Please remind Santa that he's to bring the small gifts, the small fun toys, games, activities, and that moms and dads are responsible for the big gifts, because it's also really confusing to understand how come Santa brought me one thing and he brought my classmates something very, very, very different. And then with older kids, listen, they are so aware of what's been going on, teens in particular. It's okay to have the very candid conversation and say, look, this year things are tight. This year we need to look at doing things a little bit differently, partly because we still don't know what next year is going to look like. And so we need to make sure that we're not caught off guard if, you know, things slow down or shut down. So let's take a look and you help me figure out your priorities. And teens are remarkably astute to that. They get it. Again, they've probably been on social media and following the news sources more than a lot of us adults.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there's a lot. There's so much to read. There's so much that's going on around us in the media. So I do think that people are very much aware of that. So, Doretta, before we sign off the segment, there is something that I would like to get your advice on, because many people talk about this, and I've heard it a little more this year than other years. Should people... or could people, can they, is it appropriate to re-gift?
Oh, absolutely. I think that there are two things to think about re-gifting. One is, do you want people to know you're re-gifting? And if you don't, make sure you keep track of what you're re-gifting, because the last thing you want to do is gift something back to somebody.
Or we had that happen in our family a couple of years ago. It was a little dense.
Exactly. But, you know, I was really thinking about this, and I think that there is actually, if you do regifting or gifting of something that you didn't buy for somebody that came from somebody else thoughtfully, it can be incredibly moving and important. This year, my best friend from childhood gave me for my birthday a book that had been her father's. And her father had been very kind to me in very difficult times when I was a teenager. And this book means so much to me because it belonged to her dad and because it was a book about something that both he and she knew that mattered to me very much. And so that kind of like sensitive giving of something can be incredibly meaningful.
Yeah, I think that that's really great. That's a lovely story and something that people should think about this year as they're thinking about who they're giving gifts to, and it doesn't necessarily need to be something that they go out and buy. So certainly some really great advice. But the reality is that the holiday season is just weeks away, and there could be those out there that have already overspent. So we're going to have some advice for you when we come back. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. My guests today are Doretta Thompson. She's the financial literacy leader and director of corporate citizenship at CPA Canada. I've also got Dr. Janine Hubbard. She's the president of the Association of Psychology of Newfoundland and Labrador. So ladies, we're having some really great discussion today in helping people plan the holidays in a thoughtful way that will maybe cut down on the stress and cut down on the debt hangover that often looms after the holiday season. But, you know, there may be people out there, given that we are less than 4 weeks away from Christmas, that have already overspent or find themselves carrying that holiday debt. So, Doretta, what advice do you have for those listeners? What should they be doing to address that debt?
You know, I think that you're absolutely right. The pandemic's really brought out a lot of additional financial stress, and particularly for younger people. But I think that the first step has to be own it. Just know where you stand. Really own where your debt is, because it's really hard to move forward if you don't know where you're starting. The second thing is stop digging. If you've overspent, stop now. Ask yourself if you can return any of the things that you've ordered, for example, if you're specifically over on your Christmas budget, and just to do what you can to try to get it back into shape. And then the next thing is make a budget. And, you know, we've talked about that a little bit. People are afraid of the B word and stuff. And I often call it a plan instead of a budget, because then it avoids the B word. But, you know, it's those basics, Nancy. It's figuring out where you are, what money's coming in, what money's going out, what do you really need to spend? Is there anything that you can cut down on? And be tough with that. You know, some people are just things they don't look at as possible ways to save. You know, if you have two cars, can you manage with one car? If you're in serious debt, those are the kinds of big questions you need to ask yourself. But really, the important thing is understand where you are, own your debt, see what you can return, and then have a budget and a plan to manage it.
So for those people who are out there who have overspent, they haven't been budgeting over the holidays to make sure that they're not overspending, how do they do better next year? So how do they plan for 2021 so they don't find themselves in the same place?
Plan ahead. It's all about having a plan. Think about your preliminary list now. Set your budget now and, of course, revisit it through the year. Try to spread out the spending so that you're not in that last-minute urgent Christmas rush, but that you're shopping throughout the year. You know, we did see in our survey a slight decrease in the number of people who've saved money to pay for the holidays this year, and I'd love to see that trend go the other way. I think another thing about planning early is that you can start thinking with your family now and setting expectations now. And maybe in the aftermath of the holidays and a really challenging holiday that we're going to see, you know, some people have been very, very deeply hurt by this, and not just financially. You know, people have lost health and have lost loved ones. That's something that has really got to bring us all back to our fundamental values. So I think that when you think about it this year, also think about the whole year and what your values are and how you build that into the expectations for next year.
Yeah, that's some really great advice. And Janine, I know that for some people, they have holiday regret, right? They feel when the holidays are over, they realize that, you know, they've overspent and they have that regret, and it's probably causing stress and anxiety. What advice do you have for people on how to manage that?
Oh, again, it is so tough because, especially this year, I think there's a lot of people doing shopping, again, whether it's out of guilt, whether it's out of stress, whether it's out of boredom, because you get that lovely dopamine hit as soon as you place the order. Because, again, a lot of people are doing far more online ordering, which can make it more impulsive, and then things show up, and you're like, oh, right. Again, I think it's... Well, we recommend to everybody in January to take care of your mental and your physical health, because if you're in a better space in terms of your own stress levels and making sure you're still getting out and getting your exercise, you're going to be in better shape to be able to look at things honestly, as opposed to the kind of avoidance which a lot of people go into in January. We hibernate from the world, including our debts, and starting to figure out what, you know, reflect what was important this year, what wasn't important. And even if you start making a list and say, I thought that these were the things that were going to bring me joy and make me happy, and none of them were, write that down so that you've got it there for next year as a reminder. And one of the best pieces of advice I have ever heard is, if you have it within your budget, when you're doing things like going grocery shopping, pick up a $10 gift card. Pick up a small gift card as part of your regular shopping so that you then have that set aside for next year. As whether that's for your holiday entertaining budget, whether that's something that you then have to be able to give as gifts or donate to charity, but you've been doing a little bit each step of the way along throughout the year.
Well, thanks for that. That's some really great advice. And ladies, we've had some really great discussion today and like I said, some good advice for our listeners. But Retta, we've got some time now for some final thoughts. So if you could leave our listeners with a final thought today, what would it be?
I think it's that the importance of setting a holiday budget and sticking to it. But if it isn't what it used to be traditionally in your family, talk to your family about it. Talk about it now so that everybody is sharing this experience together. I think one thing about the pandemic is that it does affect us all in some way, and it's not our fault. So a lot of the guilt things that get attached to money are not there this year in some ways because people have lost jobs through no fault of their own, et cetera. So I think that talking about the expectations, being honest about where you are, and being sensitive to how your family members are, who is on your gift list and what they may be feeling and experiencing. And so even if you're fine, think about other people who may not be.
That's great. Thanks for that. Thanks for joining me today. And if people wanted some more information on the CPA Canada poll or I wanted to get some advice on holiday spending, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can get it from our website at cpacanada.ca/financial literacy.
Great. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
And Janine, if you could leave our listeners with a final thought today, what would it be?
The pandemic has really reminded us of, at our core, what is truly important. And if I can, I'd love to do a quote from the immortal words of Dr. Seuss. It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? And I'm looking at COVID as the Grinch who's trying to spoil things for us this year, but we're just not going to let it happen.
Oh, I love that. I actually got a little goosebumps as you were reading.
I was getting a little teary as I was reading it, I will be honest. And I read it every year, but you know what? This year, it really is resonating. The pandemic has put our lives in perspective. And maybe,
yeah, no,
you know,
really
use that as a reminder.
Yeah, it really, really has. I think it's really shown us what really is important, and that's time with our family and friends. And it's not lost on me to read your comment earlier about there's many people that, as a result of the pandemic, will not have loved ones with them this year. And we need to remember that and make sure we're doing everything we can to make everyone's Christmas a little brighter this year. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much.
I also want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. As always, I do want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question or maybe a topic you'd like me to discuss here on Your Money, you can email us at yourmoney@bdo.ca or give me a call at 800-563-8337. Until next week, I'm Nancy Sneddon. Stay safe and be well, everyone.
If you have a question or comment for Your Money, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Sneddon of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees, on VOCM.
The proceeding was a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.